Thank Linda and Joe and the choir. Paige is not here, but let's give them another hand. Praise be to God. We thank you for sharing. If you look on the, well, let's have a word of prayer first. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for being here. Thank you for that old time religion. Continue to speak to us by the inspiration of your holy word as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look on the back of your worship bulletin, of course, our scriptorial text is John, the 15th chapter and the first 7 verses. And so I want to preach today from the topic, fruitful giving, fruitful giving. Look to your neighbor and say the topic with me, fruitful giving. Amen. As I was preparing for this sermon, out of curiosity, I was wondering how many commercials are there in 1 hour? That someone said too many. All right. I would agree. how many commercials are there that continue to advertise as it relates to trying to get into our pockets or our pocketbooks? That continues to try and get money from us to buy the latest gadget, the latest items that we can't live without. Well, let me share this research with you, and you can do it when you go home. In just a half an hour, there are 18 commercials, doesn't matter what program you watch, that tries to advertise us to buy something, to consume something, to purchase something. And so if you take that, those 30 minutes with those 18 commercials, times 2, you have what? See how quickly the choir got that. 18 times 2 is 36. Thank you. 32. Wait a minute. I said that wrong. Well, you got me messed up on that one. 36. I knew it didn't even sound right. 36 commercials in 1 hour trying to get money from us, trying to get us to purchase some product, some item that we must have, we can't live without. It reminded me as I was watching those different commercials of all the different songs and the money songs that relates to currency. In fact, if you look at your sermon notes, look at the first question. It's this question. What is your favorite money song? Don't that sound like pennies from heaven? You hear that? Is it Money by Pink Floyd or Material Girl by Madonna? Or maybe Money Can't Buy You What, ladies? Love by the Beatles. Or the OJs for the Love of Money. Or you remember Donna Summers? She works hard for what? Money. Well, there's another song that a friend introduced me to a couple of weeks ago. It's a country song. And he says it this way, Chris. He says, as it relates to money, if he had enough money, I would buy me a boat. Buy me a boat. That's the title of his song as it relates to having money. And he would get a pickup truck to pull his boat. Well, commercials, they do it. We hear it in the music industry. But when it comes to the church, and we're talking about money, you hear how quiet it is? It's like the elephant in the room. Taboo. Nobody wants to talk about it. Perhaps visitors, you didn't know you were going to be getting a money sermon this morning. Oh, excuse me, I almost fell off there. You didn't know you were going to get a money sermon, but it's more about money. It's also about stewardship, time, talents, and treasures. In fact, if you have your Bibles, look at John, the 15th chapter, and you'll see where Jesus is sharing with his disciples. And if you were here last Sunday, we had communion. Well, guess what? The disciples and Jesus are just now leaving from having communion. And now they're walking out into the garden. Not just an ordinary garden, but a garden. Many believe it was the Garden of Gethsemane. But because of the environment at this particular time, it could have been any garden, really. And they were walking out in a garden, and Jesus Christ decides to use this garden scenery, the grapes that were connected to the vine and spreading around the branches and all of that. He uses it in order to teach a very important message. By the way, when we talk about money, you have to deal with it from the Bible perspective. In fact, I said this earlier, if you look at the Bible, read the Bible, you have 2,350 scriptures that are reference to money. Jesus talked about money. That was his single message or subject other than the kingdom of God. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus had 39 parables, and out of those 39 parables, 16 dealt with money. Money is mentioned more than faith and prayer. So here he used a very pointed illustration as he was sharing with his disciples after the Lord's Supper, after the communion. He reminds them to stay what? Connected. He wanted them to stay connected with the Father. How do we know? Well, look at your sermon notes and look on the back. The very first verse of the 15th chapter. Jesus starts out and John records his words. I am the vine and my Father is the what? The gardener. Now, in other translations, you have the word gardener, you have the word husband, you have the word farmer or vine dresser. But in essence, he's in charge. Hello. In case you missed that bulletin, God's in charge. This is our Father's world. So Jesus shares with his disciples that he is divine and his Father is divine dresser. And then he goes on and he shares in this description as he's talking about this garden and he's reminding them as it relates to their own lives, not only the disciples' lives, but also our lives as well. Listen to the second verse again. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more what? Fruitful. This is not the first time that the Bible talks about fruit, nor will it be the last. In fact, because of the environment and the arena and the context in which Jesus was sharing with the disciples, and he knew that they would be familiar with the fruits, and especially the grapes, Jesus was using this as an illustration to them. It was a very important illustration, but yet the Bible talks previously about fruit. If you look at the bottom footnotes of your sermon notes, you'll see a citation from Matthew, the 3rd chapter. And in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in the 8th verse, John comes along. And John looks at all the believers and he reminds us that true repentance is as fruit. True repentance is as fruit. And then in Romans, the 1st chapter, in the 8th verse, Paul comes along the scene and Paul gives us this reference. He reminds us that winning a convert, winning a person to Christ, is as fruit. But then Paul adds on, you know, Paul was a long-winded preacher, so he added on in Romans, the 6th chapter, he reminds us if you want to grow and get to the period of holiness, you have to do it as though you are a piece of fruit. But that's not Paul's last words to us. Look at Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, Paul reminds us, when we give praises to God from our lips, it is as though it is from the fruits of our lips. And then Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 to 23, it's the fruit of the Spirit. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I want you to look again at the 15th chapter, at the second verse, because this is my third time preaching this message, and I've received, and one is located in the back, I received three of these instruments so far. I don't know, the folks from the 8 o'clock service say that he needs to make sure that he has a pair of pruning shears, something, but I got them now, so thank you. Amen. Because I stated in the early service, I'm not even going to pretend that I know how to use these things. In fact, it's on lock now, so I got to figure out how. Okay, there we go. Because I'm a city boy, but I do know a little bit about pruning, because pruning means to cut or to cut back. And it's for growth. In fact, if you look at the second verse of the 15th chapter, you'll see where Jesus is reminding his disciples as well as us that he cut back, or cut off in other translations. But if you look at it in the Greek form, it reminds us as though one person is on the ground and he is putting back. Cutting back has a way of helping the growth process. I don't know how many of you have ever said, I can't live without this person in my life. I can't live without this thing in my life. I got to have it. Well, growth and the process that Jesus was sharing with his disciples is that pruning is not bad for us. It's actually good for us. And he was sharing with the disciples as well as us today that there is a process that we go through. I'm trying now to learn not to say I can't live without something. Why? Because the Lord is listening. And if I say I can't live without something, he can say, Clip, let's cut that off. Yeah, you got it. If I can't live without that person in my life, Clip, if that person's always in my ear and always giving me advice and I'm listening to that person's advice and not God's advice, guess what? Clip, it's going through the process of pruning, process of development, because he wants us to be better today than we were on yesterday and better tomorrow than we are today. He's making us better. And if you look closely at this passage of scripture, you'll see how God is moving in the lives of the disciples through Jesus. He's used this beautiful illustration to remind them of their tasks, and incidentally, of what is facing Jesus. And that's what's behind me, the cross. And so Jesus wants them to stay connected, stay connected, stay strong to endure, because things are getting ready to happen, but you need to stay connected and stay connected to the Father, the gardener, and remember that I am divine and you're just the branches. I shared at the other services, Max Licato gives us a provocative beatitudes. He says it this way. Blessed is the man who knows that there's only one God and he doesn't try and take that position. Let me say it again for some of you. Blessed is the man or the woman who knows that there's only one God, only one gardener, and he doesn't try and take that position. Jesus is divine. God is the gardener. And guess what we are? Just branches, that's all. We're just branches. But we need to stay connected. How many of you ever gone to a hotel and at a hotel they have a fruit basket on the counter, and as the person is checking you in, you're looking at that fruit is looking at you, you want to consume that fruit, it looks real good, and then when you get ready to touch it, you find out it's what? Artificial. Don't raise your hands, I won't even raise mine, amen. But you find out they're artificial. And no one wants to deal with anything that's artificial. Amen? You want what? The real thing. I mean, that's the headlines in the paper as it relates to Coca-Cola in the news journal this morning. The real thing. You want the real thing. Nothing fake, but the original. There's not a woman in here or a girl that wants an artificial diamond. Ladies want a real diamond. For a diamond is a girl's what? Best friend. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. But you can't hardly tell the difference from one to the other. Artificial grapes are real grapes. But if you look closely, they all have something that's holding them together. What is that? Yeah. The stem, the branch, whatever you want to call it, it holds them together. And that's what Jesus was telling his disciples. He was reminding them that you're getting ready to face some different obstacles, different things in your lives. And there's periods where God has to cut some things off in order for you to mature, in order for you to grow. But stay connected. He wanted the branches to stay connected to the vine and also to the garden. Well, if you look at your sermon notes, let me give you these three points. There are three basic fruits the Lord bears in the lives of his children. They are, number one, sanctification. Sanctification. Sanctification is this. This is we become more like Jesus. We become more like Jesus day in and day out. How do we become more like Jesus? I'm glad you asked. By praying and studying God's word, by living for him and not ourselves, to become more like Jesus, being the hands and the feet of Jesus. Number two, souls. Souls. This is, we are buried like Jesus. Our fleshly nature is buried. Just like Jesus, and we have to continue to let our fleshly nature be buried daily. You remember they crucified Jesus and they buried him, but you remember in the Apostle Creed, the Bible reminds us as well that what? Early the third day morning, he got up and he ascended to the Father. Our spiritual nature must come forth, and the last S is this S. Spirituality. Spirituality. This is, we behave more like Jesus. Paul would say it this way as it relates to the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians, the fifth chapter, and verses 22 to 23. Say this with me. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Self-control. We wouldn't have even thought of anything like what occurred in Paris, France, if the world and the people in the world would have what? Self-control. For what the world needs now is love, love, and more sweet love. Amen. So, let me call your attention to one more passage of scriptures right in John, the 15th chapter, as I get ready to close. If you look at John, the 15th chapter and the 13th verse, John records these words when he's talking about Jesus. Greater love have no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus Christ was willing to give his life for you and for me to have a right to the tree of life. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. He continues to give us even when we don't deserve it. Amen? He continues to bless us over and over again. How do I know? Just read the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You've heard me say it before. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. This illustration is a beautiful reminder of how good our God is to you and to me. What is this? Banana. What is this? Grape. This here? Tangerine. And the lastly, but not least, an apple. God is so good. He's willing to say to you and to me, I'm going to give you 10 bananas, 10 grapefruits, 10 tangerines, and 10 apples. I'm going to give them to you. And all I want is just one of each. That's it. One of each. And so God has his. And guess what? He's so faithful and good to us, he's willing to give us the 90%. You can have the rest. That's what stewardship is all about. Giving to God what's rightfully his. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. As our ushers are coming, we'll have two ushers that will receive your commitment cards here at the altar. And if you're not able to come, there'll be two other ushers who will be passing the baskets around. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing, I Surrender All.